Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last year, I owned what I believe to be one of the best possessions I ever had. It was a 1990 Chevy Silverado extended cab truck. Now, to many of you thinking, oh, it's a 1990 truck, that there's other vehicles out there that could be better. To me, that truck was precious. Not only was this truck precious to me, it had over 200,000 miles of memories on it. Taking my truck to Minnesota, taking it south to Texas, and taking it far west to the beautiful land and the beautiful coast of Oregon. There are so many memories I could share with you about what and how I did things with my truck. As I was saying, I had a truck last year. While on Vicarage, I received a phone call from my mechanic because since my truck was an older truck, it had to have monthly repairs. And I had to send my truck in to be repaired for a water pump. My mechanic called and said, simply enough, that you know what? Your truck has been stolen. I thought for a second to myself, what? What did he just say? And I asked him again, what did you say? And then he went on to tell me that someone had taken the truck in the middle of the night and he had already informed the police. My stereo, my CDs, all those precious memories, pictures I left on the seat, and most importantly, a watch which my father had given to me when I graduated from Concordia Seward, Nebraska, was in the glove box. I was crushed. It was a couple days later, it was December 23rd, in fact, when the police finally gave me a phone call. They said they had good news and they had bad news. The good news was that they found my truck. The bad news was it was totaled. It was stripped. But to add to some of the good news, they had found the man who was responsible for stealing my truck. Now all the police wanted from me was to simply come on down and identify the remains of my truck and see if I knew this man, this thief. I found it incredibly hard to go down to the police station that day. Looking upon my truck and seeing that the truck was stripped bare, this baby of mine, this precious item which I have taken through 200,000 miles, was stripped. The wheels gone, the bumper bashed in. There was key marks all throughout the sides of the vehicle. And to make things worse, when I went into the interior of the vehicle, I looked inside and the entirety of the interior was either taken or destroyed. It seemed like the thief had taken a knife and carved his initials into the seat. But when I went to look at the glove box, my watch was gone. How dare a person like this steal something which was so precious to me? Does a person like this have a heart at all? A person who takes my watch. What did he do with it? Did he just throw it in the garbage? Did he sell it for a few dollars? I found it incredibly hard to meet this man. I found it hard for the fact that he had desecrated in my life, which I thought was so precious. But you know, it wasn't so hard to think of what I would have done to him if I could have got my hands on him. Zacchaeus is a thief. Zacchaeus is a corrupt politician. Zacchaeus is a person who has stolen your money, your way of providing for your children. Zacchaeus, in his big fat house on top of the hill, is living in luxury while you and I are trying to make ends meet with the monies that we have. Zacchaeus has taken wrongfully, which does not, which he has not earned. It is so easy looking at Zacchaeus. It is so easy to relate to how the crowd related to Zacchaeus, because here was Jesus. Jesus approaching Zacchaeus so openly in a tree. It was easy to understand how the people looking upon Jesus talking to this thief, this person who has stolen so much from them, a person who has taken without earning it, a person who most likely has never obeyed the Torah, but only the laws that suited himself. How dare Jesus be with Zacchaeus? Oftentimes, you and I can be like the crowd watching Jesus approach Zacchaeus. What I mean by this is simply enough. In your hearts, what do you feel when I say these names? When I say Osama bin Laden, when I say Saddam Hussein, when I say Timothy McVeigh, Ted Bundy, do you have feelings in your heart which are of loving and peace? Or do you feel those feelings of anger and contempt and makes you feel hard to be around those types of people? And be it today, Election Day, the day that we are to choose our next president of the United States, hearing the name George Bush, hearing the name John Kerry, how does your heart move you when you hear the name of the one that you oppose? How do you address those people who go against what you believe who should be president? Do you believe those people to be lesser? Do you have contempt for those people who support that politician that you don't necessarily support? Do you treat them with spite? In our own personal lives, there are so many ways we are like the crowd. Be it like gossip. Be it like those little white lies throughout the community. Be it in any which way in which we do not hold the honor of our neighbors as we would to ourselves. In any which way, the anger, the contempt, the malice, and the distrust in those people that we have placed because we find it hard to be around them is the reason why Zacchaeus was in that tree. Now, while I was doing camp ministries back in the day, I was over at Camp Texoma in Pottsboro, Texas. While I was doing some youth ministries over there, I came across a servant event group who had come in for an entire week. There was one individual who stuck out like a sore thumb. This individual was a girl, and she was a senior at the time. Now, it became apparent that many of the kids found it very hard to hang around her. They found it very hard to do projects with her and to just to be with her and talk with her. It came out later that she had stolen a CD from one of the youth a couple weeks prior to the servant event. And she was not, in fact, did she steal the CD? She was caught red-handed. And because she was caught red-handed, everyone knew it was her. The youth found it too hard to be around her. It was easier for them to judge her and make her feel out of place than it was to forgive. But you know what? Even though she knew how they felt, and even though she knew how she would be treated, she was just like Zacchaeus. She chose to show up. Why? To see Jesus. And to forgive is what Jesus came to do. Jesus sought Zacchaeus in a tree. Jesus seeks you, me, and that girl in a tree. And upon a tree, Christ has claimed all those who have done wrong to you, all those who are incredibly hard to be with. He has claimed all sinners. At Calvary, he climbed a tree high enough so he could see the entire world, so that car thieves, CD thieves, you and me, and all those who have done things which they're ashamed of, those who've acted in ways which make us embarrassed. He has taken all those things which make us hard to be with and placed those burdens upon his back. And upon his back, he had become forsaken by all and become the most incredible person to be around. At the same time of taking the sins of all the people, Christ, possessing the power to love all those who find it hard to love you. And at the same time, Christ, he went and he loved unconditionally all people, regardless of the magnitude of their sin. And at the same time, Christ loves you and wants to bring you closer to God. Yes, Christ came for Zacchaeus, as he also comes for you. Christ looks past all those things which makes you incredibly hard to be around. He has taken you from that tree and placed himself upon it. And upon that tree, we find our forgiveness. Christ made himself of no reputation, so that to include you and me at his table. And because of his sacrifice, my truck, my watch, that girl's CD doesn't seem so important anymore. And may the grace and peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen.